Good morning. We are glad you're here. We're glad you're worshiping with us. Barb Wallenbeck's back, so she's back. I'm Pastor Brian. You must be Barb's sister. I'll greet you later. But we are glad you're back. We're glad you're out of quarantine. So make sure you say hello to Barb. But we're glad she's back and back safely. So we have been for the past since February 16th. We started a study verse by verse through 1 Corinthians. Last week we ended in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 16. And if you've been here for any length of time, you're assuming or expecting me to start with 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. However, we're going to pause. And I know that's a dirty word, you know, because the governor paused things a long time. And some things are still paused, but I'm not going to pause that long. Lord willing, it's going to be 7 days. Next week, my plan is to be back in 1 Corinthians 11. But we are going to pause this morning. Why? Why is, Pastor Brian, why are you pausing? Why now? What's the reason? What's going on? Well, in part, where we are in 1 Corinthians is a natural pause for a number of reasons that I'm not going to get into, but more importantly, circumstances. Circumstances. Conversations with some of you. Conversations with people who don't attend here. Conversations with people who don't attend anywhere. God has prompted it through those kind of things in my life. There's been a lot of similarities in those conversations. What's going on in the culture? What's going on in society? What to think about it? How do I handle it? How do I view it? How do I respond to it? Early on, when we were on pause, thank you, and not meeting in person, Sunday nights, we took on some topics such as fear, anxiety, worry, panic. Okay? We took on trials and suffering. Anger. Why don't my prayers, why doesn't every prayer get answered the way I want, when I want, how I want? We talked about the nature of our hearts. And these are available online, or if you want just an audio recording, talk to the guys in the back. But not because I preach them, but because God's Word tells us how to handle those kind of things. And that's more important than anything I had to say. But since March, things have not gotten any better. They've actually gotten worse. There's more turmoil. There's more chaos between the virus and everything that's going on. Here's what's happened. People have lost their jobs temporarily, permanently. Some may don't even know whether it's temporary or permanent. Businesses have closed. Again, some temporary, some permanent. Some don't know how long they will be closed. All of this has created lots of excitement in your financial world, I'm sure. Either if you're a business owner or just your personal finances, and then you have, well, the government doesn't get as much money as it has been. So what is this going to be due to my taxes? So all of this has caused financial stress, financial problems even. Then you have schools. Schools went to online learning in March. And we still don't know what school will or won't look like in September. That's coming in a few weeks, Lord willing. That's what the governor has said. Then you have the whole issue of masks. Masks. They are important, imperative for health and safety. They are a symbol of the government's oppression and removal of my rights. So there's two basic views on masks. Add to that the fact that what we hear about the virus changes regularly. Is the virus bad? Yes, no. How do you get it? This way, that way, not that way. How do you protect yourself and others? Masks help. Masks don't help. And then you look and read and hear the headlines that cause fear. Then you add to that those who see conspiracy theories involved in all this. Where the virus came from, who's behind it, what's going on. We're being manipulated, we're being conditioned, we're being controlled. It's all a hoax. That's just the virus. Then you have the death of George Floyd, or if you want to be more specific, the murder of George Floyd, prompting protests about racism and racial injustice that are still going on today. Sadly, some of these have turned violent. They've become more of a riot than a protest. They cloud the issue that racism and bigotry are wrong. And then, if you look at the statistics, crime continues to go up in the midst of everything that's going on. So how are people dealing with this? How do they respond? What are they thinking about it? What are they doing about it? Well, they're sad. They're isolated. You can say they're depressed. They're worried. They're anxious. Some of them are hopeless. Some of them are giving in to despair and going as far as suicide. It will never end. Things will never get back to normal. This is the way it's going to be. Some of them are just afraid. Not only will it never end, it's going to get worse. I'm going to get sick. Someone I love is going to get sick and die. There's going to be another shutdown. I will lose my job permanently. I will have no money. And you can go on and on. I don't know where you are in this broad brush that I'm trying to paint, but we're all somewhere in the mix. And oh, by the way, 99 days from today, there's a presidential election. In case you didn't know, I just want to make sure you can add another level of stress to your life. What if Joe Biden wins? Then what? What if President Trump wins? Then what? What if neither one of them wins? Then what? Kanye West. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. All right, we're not going political. Okay. Wow. Will things stay the same? Will they get better? Will they get worse? How should I, as a Christian in People's Baptist Church in Newfield, New York, how should I think about these things? Should I just hope it all goes away after the election? That 2021 is going to be way better than 2020? What if, as much as I don't care for this term personally, and I know some of you don't, this is the new normal. Masks, restrictions, social distancing are here permanently. They're never going away. In fact, a survey I read this week said 3 out of 4 Americans surveyed, 75%, think exactly that. This is a permanent situation. It's not going to change. As believers, some of you might be thinking, we are, or are we, living in the end times? You hear about the mark of the beast, a cashless society, forced vaccinations, and you think, the end is coming, and I'm not going to get into that. It may very well be. What if things are paused or get shut down again? At the moment, there are many more questions that I could ask, and I have no answers. I have no answers for some of these questions. And there's going to be, guess what? If all of these questions got answered today, there's going to be more in the future. This is a very uncertain time, probably one of the most uncertain times in history outside of when we had World War I or World War II. Very few people like uncertainty short-term, let alone long-term. So since I don't have answers, what does God have to say? Does God's word, does God himself have something to say? What answers does the Bible have? How should we who are believers in Jesus Christ, how should we think about these things and the ones that unfortunately are going to come in the future? As I said, it's not possible this morning to answer all these questions. The scripture talks about multiple things that we've talked about, but we're not going to talk about the individual things I mentioned. We're going to take a big picture view. We're going to take what some people like to call a 30,000 foot view. We're not going to think about just the individual things, but how to approach unknowns, how to approach uncertainties in life, ones we know about and the ones we know are coming but don't know what they are. And George is trying to figure out where we are on the map. I just saw her. And I know some of you are too. So you're right there this morning. That's Newfield, New York. Things look a little different from 30,000 feet. I don't know if that's 30, but that's Google Maps zoomed way out. With that in mind, with all this in mind, if you're not already there, please turn in your Bible to Joshua chapter 1. That is going to be our text this morning. Joshua chapter 1. And I'm going to read our text, verses 1 through 9, before we dive in to look at how it applies to uncertainties in life. Joshua chapter 1 says this, verse 1, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For this people shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In the last four verses of that text this morning, God tells Joshua, be strong and of good courage twice. Be strong and very courageous once. And for good measure, do not be afraid or dismayed. Do you think that maybe, just maybe, God's trying to make a point with Joshua? He's trying to teach him something? I believe he is, and I hope by the end of our time this morning in God's Word that we will have learned that lesson that God is trying to teach Joshua, how to be strong and courageous. We're going to look at seven choices to be strong and courageous this morning from this text. So let's pray and ask God's help as we hear his word to apply it wherever we find ourselves in this spectrum of being strong and courageous in our society, in our world today. Father God, we thank you for the fact that we are not alone. Joshua needed to hear this message just like we do. Whatever we're struggling with in terms of what's going on in society, what's going on in our culture, what's going on in the world, or even what's going on in our own personal lives. We are like Joshua. We are often fearful, and we need to be reminded of the truths and the lessons that you taught him in this passage. Lord, help us not to gloss over or zone out, as this is a very well-known passage and we've heard it before. Help us to see ourselves in Joshua's shoes and help us to understand who you are, what you're doing, and what you want us to learn in light of what is going on in our world today. Lord, I ask that you would use me this morning. I would be a good communicator, a good and useful instrument in your hands to share the truth of your word. Help all of us to be hearers and doers, not just hearers. We thank you for this opportunity and the privilege it is to meet together and to meet together publicly without fear of persecution. We thank you for the other churches in our area, in our state and nation who are doing the same or will be shortly. We ask this all in your name. Amen. So seven choices this morning, seven choices to be strong and courageous. The first choice you need to make is remember nothing ever surprises God. Nothing ever surprises God. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Okay? This did not surprise God. Moses was the only leader the nation had ever known. Joshua, the only leader Joshua had ever known. He led the nation for 40 years, from the plagues of Egypt to the crossing of the Red Sea. He is an individual who is recorded in Scripture as speaking with God to the point where his face glowed. He got the law. The first five books of the Old Testament are likely written by Moses. And while he was alive, God kept the Israelites healthy and safe. He fed them. He watered them. Their clothes never wore out. He was 120 at the point he died. He was not sick. But God said, it is time, I'm going to take you. That may have surprised some of the Israelites, even Joshua. It didn't surprise God. It was part of his plan. Now, Joshua has been called and said, God says, you are the one who is going to take over, fulfill Moses' sandals, lead Israel, and conquer the promised land. Why did God say, be strong and courageous, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed? Joshua's just like us. Imagine the fear in Joshua's mind, his concerns, his worries, the what ifs, the unknown, the future he's facing without Moses, the uncertainty, the difficulty. It's not only easy to give in, but to be overwhelmed by the unknown, by fear, asking and being consumed by what if, the worst case scenario. What if the virus never goes away? What if they don't develop a vaccine? What if we have to wear masks and social distance forever? What if the other candidate, whoever that is, wins in November? What if no one wins? What if the riots continue? What if I lose my job, my house? What if they take more of my rights and my freedoms? What if, what if, what if, what if? When I start wrestling with the what if question, this quote always comes to mind from Mark Twain. I've had a lot of worries, a lot of what ifs in my life, most of which never happened. I'm not trying to minimize what I just said about what if or make light of your thoughts or your concerns. I have them, and I'm sure Joshua did too, but think back on the last what if in your life. Think back to March. What if they never allow us to come back to church again? What if I get sick? What if someone I know gets sick? What if someone I know dies from this virus? How many of those what ifs happened? Usually they don't, because we always go what if and go to the worst extreme and think the worst is going to happen. Okay, Pastor Brian, I get it. Joshua needed to be brave and courageous, but what about me? Does this really apply to me? And if so, why? How? Let's consider the God who's speaking to Joshua. This is who he is, speaking to the prophet Isaiah, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. This is the God who's speaking to Joshua and speaking to you this morning. Revelation, he describes himself this way. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Matthew chapter 11, Jesus speaking says, and you, Capernaum, who are exalted to the heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if, don't miss that word, if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. God knows all things actual and possible. Nothing can ever or will ever surprise him. God knows all things actual and possible. Nothing can ever or will ever surprise him. You get that? If Jesus is saying, if the things that happened in you, Capernaum, happened in Sodom, things would have turned out differently. You ever thought, what if I had asked that other girl out? What if I had taken that other job? What if I had bought that other car or that other house? God says, I know what would have happened if. I don't know only what will happen and what's going to happen. I know what would happen, the if. Since that is true, you don't need to worry about the future, the unknowns, the what ifs, because God already knows what's going to happen, and he knows about the what ifs. If it would happen, then this would happen. He knows the outcome of every what if scenario you or I could possibly think of, and the ones we can't. Nothing surprises God. Ever. Remember that. Remember that God always has a plan. God always has a plan. Look at the second half of verse 2. Now, therefore, God speaking to Joshua, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. God, I can't. I just can't. I'm not Moses. I'm not smart enough. I'm not wise enough. I'm not skilled enough. I'm not experienced enough. I can't. Joshua, I know you think that. I know you're afraid. I know you have doubts. You have concerns. I know you don't think you are qualified. I don't know you don't think you're capable. I know you don't think you can fill in for Moses, fill his sandals. But remember, I am capable. I am qualified. I am able. And I have a plan. God doesn't answer all of Joshua's questions. He just says, I have a plan. He doesn't address all his fears or concerns. He doesn't lay out the whole plan. He doesn't ever, I shouldn't say ever, he doesn't usually do that. He just gives Joshua the next step. We love this verse in Psalms 119. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We want it to look like this. We want the whole pathway lit up. We want all the potholes to be seen, all the detours. We want to know where it's going. It's more like this. Just the next step. Just the next step. Just the next step. Even though you can't see every step, follow God's plan. Take the next step. Because as Peter tells us, as his, God's divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called you by glory and virtue. All things for life and godliness. Maybe you like it, this quote better to help you understand what Peter's saying. God never calls us to do something or to be something without also giving us the grace, the strength, and the wisdom to fulfill his calling well. God has given you, he has given me, he has given us everything we need to handle this virus, to handle the restrictions, to handle the racial and social unrest, to handle the election results, regardless of what they are, and to handle whatever's coming that he knows about that we don't know yet. This is true, not only about what you're facing right now in culture, in your life, but anything that will ever happen in your life or in our culture. Trust God. Follow his plan, even when all you know or can see is the next step. Trust God. Follow his plan, even when all you know or can see is just the next step. Nothing surprises God. He always has a plan. And remember, nothing can stop God and his plan. Nothing can stop God and his plan. Look at verse 3 of Joshua 1. God is continuing to speak. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Well, that's great for Joshua, but it doesn't really talk about me. I'm not leading an army. I'm not leading a nation. I'm not going to battle. No, you aren't, and neither am I. But it should have great impact on us because of what happened in Genesis. If you've been here Sunday nights, this will be a refresher for you, but here is Genesis chapter 13, God speaking to Abram. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. All the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. This is a reaffirmation of God's promise from Genesis chapter 12 to Abram. Almost 700 years later is where Joshua finds himself. God is fulfilling that promise. As he said, 700 years later, he is keeping his word in the perfect time, in Joshua's lifetime. But then in Genesis chapter 15, God says this to Abram, and God said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs. They will serve them, and they will afflict them for 400 years. That's the bondage in Egypt. And also the nation whom they serve, I will judge. That's the plagues. Afterward, they shall come out with great possessions. But in the fourth generation, they shall return here where Abraham is standing. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. Joshua lived through the plagues. He lived through the Exodus. He lived through the Red Sea, the wilderness. Nothing. No time in between. Not those 700 years. Not the Pharaoh, not the Egyptians, not the wilderness. Not even Israel's rebellion and wickedness and disobedience. Not one of those things was able to stop God's plan. He is fulfilling it for Joshua and for the nation in chapter 1, and it's going to go on from there. Well, again, Pastor Brian, that's really nice for them, but what about me? What does the Bible say about God's plans for me or God's plans in general. What about today? So let's look at what God's word says. Proverbs chapter 19. There are many plans in a man's heart, a woman's heart. There are many plans in your heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, the Lord's will, the Lord's plan, that's what's going to stand, not mine, not yours. Proverbs chapter 21. The king's heart, the governor's heart, the president's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like rivers of water, he turns it wherever the governor wants, wherever the president wants. No, wherever God wants, wherever God wishes. Psalm chapter 2. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord to do things that aren't scriptural. He who sits in the heavens shall let them do it. No, he who sits in the heavens shall laugh and shall hold them in derision. Jeremiah, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a hope, give you future and a hope. Now, understand, when we see plans for welfare, we have certain thoughts about what that means. God doesn't necessarily have the same thoughts about them. God's plans, God's welfare is what we're talking about, not our wishes and our desires, but that is what is best for us. Isaiah chapter 14, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass, and as I have purposed, so it shall stand. As Charles Swindoll said, anything under God's control is never out of control. Anything under God's control is never out of control. We look at things and think they're out of control. They are not. God is completely and utterly in control, even when you do not think he is, or it does not look like it to you. He is. God is completely and utterly in control, even when you don't think he is, or it doesn't look like it is to you. God is completely in control. Nothing surprises God. Nothing can stop his plan. And he always has a plan. Remember, God will never abandon you. Look at the last half of verse 5. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. The last half of verse 9. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Yes, this promise is for Joshua, but it is also for you and I. Because the writer of Hebrews says, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what he can do to me. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, God has promised you that he will never abandon you. He will never leave you alone. Not because of a virus, not because of a restrictions, not because of social unrest, not because of an election, not because of anything you can imagine or think of. In fact, Paul goes one step farther and says, what shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, better yet, since God is for us, who can be against us? The answer is no one. No one can stop God's plan, and no one can stop you from doing what God wants and has planned for you. As a Christian, no matter what happens to you or where you are, God is always with you. God is always with you. He will not abandon you no matter where you are or what happens. We've had four statements, four lessons. Start with remember. These are biblical truth we need to consistently, constantly, regularly remind ourselves of. This helps correct our thinking. This helps us view life and circumstances and events correctly. It helps combat fear and worry, the what ifs. But right thinking is only the start. Right thinking is only the beginning of being strong and courageous. Because what you believe should impact how you behave. So if we say we believe that nothing surprises God, that he always has a plan, that nothing can stop his plan, and he will never abandon us. If we say that is the truth and we believe that, it should impact our behavior. It should impact our behavior. So the last three choices, the last three lessons rather, are going to be strong and courageous are actions, not just reminders. The first one is meditate on God's word. Meditate on God's word. Look at verses 7 and 8. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For I will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Courage and strength. Being courageous and being strong doesn't happen without effort. Getting in shape doesn't happen. Losing weight doesn't happen by sitting on the couch holding the remote. So we can say, okay, we know how to get in shape. We know how to lose weight. But doing it is this key. Knowing one is one thing. Doing is another. We're going to talk about doing. But for most of us, before we can say, all right, I'm going to meditate on God's word. I'm going to take the challenge. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. You and I need to do one or both of the following. Turn off the TV. Turn off the TV in general, and specifically the news, and especially all the 24-hour news channels. Turn them off. Get off your phone. Get off your phone. Turn off social media. Put down your phone. Better yet, turn it off. Stop meditating on man's words. Start meditating on God's word. Stop meditating on man's words. Start meditating on God's word. You want truth? You want life-changing, unalterable truth, eternity-impacting truth? You won't get it on TV. You won't get it on social media. Read the Bible. Study it. Take notes. Write questions. Ask questions. Think about it. Talk about it. Discuss it. Share what you're learning. Teach it to someone else. Read books that help you understand God and understand the Bible better. Read books that are of men and women who were courageous. Read books that help you grow and apply God's word to be strong and courageous in your own life. Read books that help you understand the answers and the hope the Bible has for real life issues so you can share it with others. Corrie Ten Boom said it this way: if you look at the world, you'll be depressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. If you look at God, you'll be at rest. Look at God. Stop meditating on man's words. Start meditating on God's word. I'm going to give you a light bulb moment. Some people have commented, I've done this a couple of times. If you haven't heard anything else I've said this morning, if you're asleep, if your neighbor's asleep, poke them and wake them up. If you've been on your phone, put it down. Everything we talked about this morning is important because it's from God's word, not from Pastor Brian. But if you don't remember anything else this morning, here's the one thing I want you to take away. The one thing that's going to help you to handle whatever's going on in your life and in our world right now and anything you're going to face in the future. Are you ready? Are you sure? It's simple, but it's not easy. Spend more time with God and in His Word. Spend more time with God and in His Word. That's simple, but it's not easy. I know that. Turn off the TV. Put down your phone. Open your Bible and read it. Meditate on God's word, not man's words. Spend more time with God and in His word. Let it shape you. Let God's word shape you, your thinking, your heart, your life, your responses, how you view what's going on. Not what the politicians say, not what the news channels say, not what people say on social media. To be strong and courageous, start by meditating on God's word. And then obey God's word. Look at verses 7 and 8 again. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. But this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written. We don't have to read the Bible very long. You don't have to listen to people talk about the Bible long before you recognize God has given us instructions. There are things that we should do. There are things that we shouldn't do. He has expectations for us, commands. So we have a choice. Are we going to ignore what God says, what He's told us, and live the way we want? Or are we going to listen to what God says and live the way he wants? Do we do what we think is right, or do we do what God says is right? Which way are you going to go, your way or God's way? The only way to be strong and courageous is God's way, going God's way, not your way. Obey his word, not your desires. Which way are you going to go, God's way or your way? When we choose God's way, when we meditate on God's word, we become less fearful. We become concerned about what is going on in the world because we know God is in control. We have different things we think about and that occupy our thoughts than people around us, at work, in the community, even in our family. And because we are different, because we think differently, we respond differently, we stand out. People notice there's a difference. Why aren't you driven by fear? Well, I'm driven by God's word. I have faith in him that he is in control, not the governor, not any other politician, not anybody but God. He's never surprised. He always has a plan. There's nothing that can stop him from doing what he wants, and he will never abandon me. You stand out. You stand out. Today, more than ever, others take notice of those kind of responses in the midst of what's going on. And then, when you have the opportunity to, and they ask you why aren't you concerned? Why aren't you worried? Why aren't you fearful? Why are you so brave and courageous? Well, it's not because of me. I'm not anything special. I'm not ignoring life and what's going on. I'm not sticking my head in the sand. It's because of Jesus. It's because God is in control. To be strong and courageous, meditate on and obey God's word, and trust God and his word. Trust God and his word. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You can trust God, not simply for what's going on right now, not simply for the reasons we've looked at, but also because he is sovereign. I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. That's Job. After everything he went through and God said, stand up and answer my questions, this is Job's response. He recognized that God is in control and he can be trusted. Rhetorical questions. Who is he who speaks and it comes to pass? God. When has the Lord not commanded it? Never. Proverbs chapter 16. The lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord. The things that you think are luck, circumstance, they just happened. Coincidence. Proverbs tells us, no, God is in control of even those things. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, or will he not, and will he not do? Yes, he has said and he will do. Or has he spoken and it will not make it good? He has spoken and he will make it good. He cannot lie. He keeps his word. Psalm 47. For God is the king of all the earth. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. God is in control. He is, can be trusted. His word can be trusted. Since this is who God is, it is his character, it is nature, and because he does not and will not ever change, this should cause us to do two things. First, as we have seen, obey him. And second, in the areas that concern us that God is responsible for and we are not, trust. Trust him. Don't expand your area into God's area. Let him handle his responsibility. You handle yours. He can and handle it. He can and will handle all of it. Perfectly, completely, at the right time and in the right way. The virus, the restrictions, the social unrest, the economy, your job, the election, anything you can or ever will face, anything you can or ever will think of, he can handle it. He can be trusted to handle it. No matter what happens, God is completely trustworthy. No matter what happens, God is completely trustworthy. We have looked this morning at seven choices to be strong and courageous. Remember, nothing ever surprises God. He fully knows all things that are actual and all things that are possible. you don't need to worry about anything. You don't need to worry about the present or the future, the unknowns, or what if. Remember that God has a plan. Trust God. Follow His plan, even when all you know or all you can see is just the next step. We have everything we need, all the resources for the pandemic, the election. Regardless of what happens, we have what we need for everything and anything that will ever happen in our lives. God is completely and utterly even in control, even when we don't think He is or it doesn't look like it to us. He is in control. Remember, God will never abandon you. No matter what happens to you as a believer in Jesus Christ or where you are, God will always be there with you. Meditate on God's word. Turn off the TV. Turn off the news. Turn off the 24-hour news channels. Put down your phone. Get off social media. Unchanging, life-altering, eternity-impacting truth isn't found on TV or social media. It's found in God's word. Stop meditating on man's words. Start meditating on God's word. Read it. Study it. Ask questions, write questions, take notes, talk about it, discuss it, share what you're learning. Read books that help you understand God in the Bible. Read books about men and women who were courageous. Read books that help you grow and apply God's word in your life. Read books that help you understand the answers and hope that God has in His word for real life and share them with people. If you don't take anything else away, if you're still asleep, make sure they're awake for this point again. Spend time with God and in His Word. Spend time with God and in His Word. Spend more time with God and in His Word. Obey God. You have a choice to make. Are you going to go God's way or your way? Which way is it going to be? Trust God and His Word. No matter what happens, God is completely trustworthy because He is completely sovereign. What has God spoken to you about this morning? How are you going to respond? Which of the remembers, the four remember statements, do you need to remember? Do you need to think about, dwell on, meditate on? What about the way you behave in light of those four statements, in light of what you say you believe? Where does it need to change? Are you going to choose to trust God and go His way, or trust yourself and go yours? Are you going to turn off the TV, put down your phone, stop meditating on man's words, and start meditating on God's word? Spend more time with God and in His word. How are you going to respond this morning? What has God spoken to you about? Are you going to be a doer of God's word and be strong and courageous? Let's pray. Father God, we needed this message this morning, myself included. Lord, help us not to have been entertained. Help us to have been challenged and confronted with whose word we're listening to, who we are focused on and meditating on most often. Is it You? Is it Your word? Is it Your truth? Or is it something else? Lord, help us to be changed by the truths that we say we believe, the truths in this book, that it's not simply claiming them and saying they're true, but that it changes the way we act, we live, we think, we respond to and view circumstances. Lord, we're not out of anything yet. Even if everything just goes back to normal today, there's something coming next week, next month, next year that will put us right back in the same place. We need to live in light of the fact that we can be strong and courageous because of who You are and what Your word says. Help us to be men and women of the book, be applying what we learned, and be responding to the truth of Your word by how we behave, how we think, and how we live. We ask this all in Your Son's name. Amen.